So we'll just take it from
where it stopped the last time, where the last one stopped.
So you must learn to see it like that, that when scriptures are referenced for you, they are referenced in shorthand. Do you understand? So what Jesus quoted is Genesis 1:2. So when they quote that text, they expect you to read everything, because the context of what was quoted is the whole book. Do you get that? They need you to read everything. I follow you. Eh? Hallelujah. So it's like a shorthand. So they expect you to go back and read all. So what Jesus did was not to go to Genesis 1:27, and then I jumped to Genesis 2. No, that was not what Jesus did. Jesus read everything from Genesis 1:1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. He said, have you not read? In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was upon the surface of the deep. And no, he read everything. You need to know that. So when those things were referenced, what they will pick as reference for you to see will be a subject matter. That was where he dwelt on. The subject matter. But you need to read everything in context. So when you got back there, you know, you are not rushing to Genesis 1:27. No, you are reading Genesis 1:1-7 to see what 27 is all about. So 27 is all about man, male and female in his image. Did you see that? So what Jesus is answering two questions in one. They came to him with their harsh culture of dealing with women as chattels, as slaves. But Jesus' response is that male and female are in Christ. From the beginning, God didn't make male and female to be one bigger than the other. No. They are in Christ. He made them together in Christ. Equal in Christ. Did you get it? Hallelujah. Glory to God. Now, I explain that union in Christ to be them, man leaving father and mother and cleaving to his wife. Not the man, not literal man, but we're talking about humanity being in Christ. That's what he's explaining. Hallelujah. But you have to read Genesis 1:2 to see that. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So you need to read it together. Everything. Read everything. That is the didache. Let me show you another example of what reading everything. Look at Matthew 22:34. Hallelujah. Are you there? Matthew 22. Look at 34. But when the Pharisees heard that he had silenced the Sadducees, they gathered together. Then one of them, a lawyer, asked him a question, testing him and saying, "Teacher, which is the greatest commandment of the law?" This is what they asked him. Which is the greatest commandment of the law? Are you following that? What was Jesus' response? Jesus said to them, where is Jesus' answer coming from? You know, unlike the first time they asked him in Mark chapter 19, they asked from Deuteronomy. Jesus said, before you get to Deuteronomy, there is a Genesis. Are you following me? Eh? To make you see that the reason for Deuteronomy, or what you are reading in Deuteronomy as a bill of divorcement, is that it has a background. There is a Genesis that is the background. So the background is that God's intention from Genesis 1:1 is for man and woman to be in Christ. And he further explained it in chapter 2, when he says, shall a man leave his father and mother and cleave to his wife? Question is, you say father and mother, who was, and you say it's Adam, who was Adam's father and mother? You. Are you following me? Eh? Did you read Genesis that Adam left father and mother and cleave to wife? No, he's talking about the fact that man will be found in Christ. So the word wife, and you know, Moses and beautiful writing for you to see that it's a man that needs to be joined to the wife. And the wife he was referring to was God. Do you see? He is changing a narrative. Something we'll begin to look at from next year. Changing a narrative. Are you following me? He's changing a narrative. Next year, next 2 years. Changing a narrative. a narrative that they have in their day. But we'll look at some of those narratives, some of those things they had in their day. Remember I said you have to sit in the seat of the first audience, right? So I'm taking you back. What we'll do in this series, where we didn't actually go back in law, I mean in the revelation of God, right? But in this series, about we are taking nothing less than 12 sections on this series, nothing less than 12 sections. Now will be for the series 3A, there will be 3B. We don't finish. So imagine 24 sessions, and we are going back. We are going where? Back. We are sitting in the seat of those audience in the wilderness. We are sitting down. We are having their language. We are reading Genesis to Malachi in their language. We are seeing everything. Are you following me? Hallelujah. So, but we will dwell with Moses 5 book. We are seeing it in their language. We are going back to their days. We are going back to their language. Hallelujah. And we will reread it. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So, very important. So, you have to go back and see. This is what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the union of man with God. And in that union, you find male and female. So, he was trying to change that ideology of women as second class. No. Are you following me? We are one in Christ. Hallelujah. Amen. Amen. Okay. You know, today, in our world today, we are not having people fighting emancipation of the women. Feminism. Nonsense. Hallelujah. Remember I said we'll deal with it in this series, right? No. December. Right? We'll deal with all those things. Deal with what we'll be discussing. I've been looking for a good title. A little gist on Jesus's women, but 10 hours. And I'm not going to hear plea this year. I'm not going to hear plea 10 hours stretch and no break. Like begin to wonder, no break. 10 hours stretch. A little gist on Jesus's ladies, Jesus's girls. So you want to bring that balance. Hallelujah. The teaching of the word. Want to bring that balance. Amen. It's a balance. Only about this feminism. Once some other men are inside their house, tying rapper and say, woman, grand pant from there. And then do that. Two guys. So because the women feel they are being maltreated by the men, now say, no, we want to rise. We'll bring a balance. Hallelujah. Amen. I was in class on Saturday and they brought it up as they started talking about it. As in, with the lecturer was trying to talk to those, and he said, no, it's our right, we are women. Another guy now said, it's because the male child is being neglected. As in, serious, hanky, just happening in the class. Just like that. And the lecturer, he was the one that started it. So he couldn't now manage it. And I raised my hand. And I said, see, yeah. I'm the only thing. There is a problem. But when the female is already shouting, it's not the first time that we're having women trying to raise up and shout, and then they will form a women call. Everybody will just look at you. How old is this? I said, see. During the Eastern era, the Mesopotamia era, we had male dominating. But within 500 to 600 years of that period, we now had a female court, which when the children of Israel, I heard that from Pastor Shego, we're going into Canaan. They found people, men worshipping women. Do you get it? So we now had more of a women court, like a revolt in those days. Did you get it? So when you now get to the period of, when even in the days of Jesus, we still had men dominate too. But the same way too, like we're having people trying to strike out, we are doing that. Was the reason why in Corinth is a, that's why I said we're going to visit Corinth again. Corinth is a confluence area where people from different walks of life visited. They also had women in control. So that is the reason why Paul will now write and say, see, let a woman be quiet. Did you get? That's how it, because they will now have women caught again revolting. So, extreme. Did you get? And then the woman, Paul wasn't saying woman should not preach. No, Paul uses the word women in the Greek. You have to go back to their days. In the Greek, there is no distinction between the word women and wife. It's the same word. Do you get? Unlike in the Hebrew where you have ishi for husband, do you understand? But in the Greek, is a woman and a wife is used interchangeably. So what Paul did was to bring that in, but now Paul was not referring to women preaching in the church. No. Was saying when he uses that word, which is the word used for both women, I'm already teaching my general message. Women and men, is referring to husband and wife. The other guy, referring to husband, not in the church. The same teaching he will not write again to Timothy in Ephesus, because they were not having women. Women were no longer submissive. No, emancipation of the women. So this thing, I said, see, what this thing is happening? It has happened before. So it's a trend that will just keep going round and round. Do you get? But you know, we can have stability. And so that is just stability. Then John called, are you a pastor? I said, no. She said, well, I have to get there. And then without everybody comes back, let's see, it's not today. Go and read. Let's go back to history. That we are all academians. Let's go back to history and we'll see. So all this emancipation shouting, someone was saying, have you ever heard extremes. But you know, with the scripture we can bring in balance. Hallelujah. Can bring in balance. And just wait. And just see what scripture says. In fact, how would you feel? You are shouting, women, no, women will not go anywhere. We are the men. Hey, when Jesus resurrected, who did he send to the men? The men were afraid of. Because women are when he sent women to men. So the apostles had apostles. So the women were the apostles to the apostles. How about that for a doctrine? How about that for a doctrine? So the woman he sent to meet his apostles, he didn't go to them, he went through a woman, and that became doctrine. Are you following me? So there's no segregation. Hallelujah. There's no segregation. Stop that. I'm a man. Some people, their own strength is in their wife. I'm a man. Those are weak guys. What's that in our life? You didn't matter where I'll give you back hand. They can't say that thing to their head. Fellow men. When you say, who are you? I'll give you back hand. Don't worry. So the woman saw at the other end and said, see, that is so. No man can't drink tea. That woman said, hallelujah. Have I shown you guys the dichotomy? We'll blend it in December. Hallelujah. Amen. Glory to God. The word of God is the answer to man's issue. If man will just get back to know the word. See, you find the answer to the word of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Remember, is what? God intervention, right? God intervened at every time, every point. Glory to God. We see many of this. Come to so you get into bed. You want to listen to me, right? Right? You can't wait for it, but wait. Prepare me. Well, we might say some little thing along them in some of our teachings up until December. And in December, we'll bring them all. Okay. How did I even get here? Okay, wife and husband. Okay, so Jesus quoted. Jesus read Genesis 1 into Genesis 2, right? He didn't quote, he read it. Now, something else you need to see. Now, when they asked him, what is that great commandment of the law? Jesus' response was from where? Moses. Did you see that? Beginning at Moses. He went down to Deuteronomy. And what did he say? He says, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first and great commandment of the law. Watch down to Deuteronomy chapter 6, verse 5. And put your hands there.
Deuteronomy 6, verse 5. You see that?
You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength. Are you following that? With all your strength. Can you see that? Put your hands in that Deuteronomy. So, you can say Jesus is quoting Deuteronomy 6:5, right? But let's see Mark 12. The same scenario. Look at what Mark does. Let's see how Mark now puts it. Mark 12. Are you Mark 12? Verse 29. He says, Jesus answered him, said, when they asked the same thing, and Jesus now answered, the first of all commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God is one. You shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your mind, with all your strength. This is the first commandment. Go back to that Deuteronomy 6. Put your hands there. What do you have in verse 4? Hear, O Israel, right? The Lord your God is one. But you didn't have that verse 4 in Matthew. Why? Because what they will write is a summary. Are you following? So that means when they asked Jesus, what is the first and great commandment? Jesus read the whole Deuteronomy 6. But what would they write? They will pick the subject matter. Are you following me? As a summary, as a reference, for you to go back and read everything. Are you following me? Imagine they now have the whole Deuteronomy from chapter 1 to chapter 6 put in there. How will your Bible be? Do you get? But that now becomes for you a reference. Do you get? So when they write and they put that as a reference, so that, you know, what they have as textbook is what the Old Testament book, right? So they have these ones as letters. Are you following me? So when they have this letter or this synoptic with them, and there's a reference to where, Yahweh is where the Lord your God is one. You know, they don't have chapters and verses, right? In those days, okay, everybody, leave 2021, go back to 1st century like that, right? Right? Now, we are all in the 1st century now. Your Bible in Deuteronomy does not have chapters. View your Bible as not having chapters. And now go to Matthew. And Matthew says, go to Mark. And Mark says, yeah, O Israel, Yahweh, the Lord your God is one, Ikar. The first commandment, love, you shall love your neighbor as, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. This is the first commandment. Stop. And that is a reference. So you that you have your textbook, not in chapters, and you read your textbook, you would know that this is a saying in Moses, right? So where will you start reading from? You quickly leave that, because it's a reference. You rush down to where? Moses. Right? Where will you start reading from? You start reading from Genesis 1. You read for Genesis itself, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. You get to Deuteronomy, bam, and get it. You have read everything in context to that point. You see that? So when you now hear the Lord your God is one, you will not have any issue because you have understood it in context. Are you following me? But what we now have is reference. You just go there, Lord, and then you miss everything. A lot of things you miss. Are you following me? Because the writer intended that you read everything from the beginning. Are you following me? Eh? Glory to God. So what you do is that you get back to Deuteronomy. Eh? Minimum, you should read that chapter 6 or verse 1 to the end. Because that was what he quoted. Are you following me? Very important. Glory to God. Did you see that? So that is why Matthew's summary will just be verse 5. Mark's summary will be verse 4 into 5. Did you see? That will be the subject matter that they will take out. You get it? But that shows that Jesus quoted beyond those few verses. Okay, another one. On the cross. On the cross. When he said, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani. My God, why have you forsaken me? You know, Jesus read, Jesus did not just say on the cross, Eli, Eli, lema sabachthani, that is my God, why have you forsaken me? Sometimes that's what people think he said. You know, the first time I read that thing from E.W. Kenyon, that was years back, I was like, this. As in, he still couldn't sing, it was too heavy. And he now said it was a monologue. He was saying it to himself. Ah! You know, when you watch Passion of the Christ or Jesus music, Jesus read Psalms 22 and Psalms 31 together. He read everything in the Psalms. He read everything. Everything. Look at Psalms 22. And when you look at Psalms 22, you discover that scripture is being fulfilled because Moses, and that was why, you know, Jesus would single out the psalmist. Because the psalmist was one who spoke much, as in, aside. And the psalmist is the one who Jesus quoted much more. And aside Moses, quoted the psalmist very well. Very well. Hallelujah. Look at Psalms 32. I mean Psalms 22. He says, my God, why have you forsaken me? Did you see? He says, why are you far from helping me? And from the words of my groanings. Oh my God, I cry in the daytime. But you do not hear. And in the night season, I am not silent. But you are holy. Enthroned in the praises of Israel. Your fathers trusted. I mean, our fathers trusted in you. They trusted and you delivered them. They cried and you were and they were delivered. They trusted in you and were not ashamed. But I am a worm and no man. A reproach of men and despised by the people. All those who see me ridicule me. Was that not what was happening? Eh? All those who see me ridicule me, they shoot out the leads. They shake the head saying, he trusted in the Lord. Was that not what they said? When he said, Eli, lema sabachthani. If they say, Eli is calling for Eli, if you are God, save yourself. Was that not what they were saying? Jesus is reading it from the Psalm. Did you see that? Are you following me? Hallelujah. He said, but you... okay. They said he trusted in the Lord. Let him rescue him. Let him deliver him, since he delights in him. But you are he who took me out of the womb. You made me trust while in my mother's breast. I was cast upon you from thence. From my mother's womb, you have been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near. That is, death is come, is close. For there is none to help. Many bulls have surrounded me. Strong bulls, Bashan, have encircled me. They gape at me with their mouth, like a ranging and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and my bones are out of joints. Is that not what happened? My bones are out of joints. They flogged me. My heart is like wax. It has melted within me. My strength is dried up. I can see this in my Bible. Okay, like a potsherd. And my tongue clings to my jaw. You have brought me to the dust of death. For dogs have surrounded me. The congregation of the wicked have enclosed me. They pierced my hand and feet. Is that not what happened? Hallelujah. I can count my bones. They looked and stared at me. They divide my garment among them, and for my clothing they cast lots. But you, O Lord, do not be far from me. O my strength, hasten to help me. Deliver me from the sword of the precious. I mean, deliver me from the sword, my precious life, from the power of the dog. Save me from the lion's mouth, that is talking about the resurrection, and from the horns of the wild oxen. You have answered me. I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the assembly, I will praise you. Is that not Hebrews?
Yeah.
Is that not in the resurrection? Can you see? Are you following that? Here is Psalm 31 again. Yes, to Psalm 31. He says, in you, O Lord, I put my trust. Let me not be ashamed. Deliver me in your righteousness. Bow down your ears to me. Deliver me speedily. You are my rock. Be my rock of refuge, a fortress of defense to save me. You are my rock and my fortress. Therefore, for your name's sake, lead me and guide me. Pull me out of the net which you have secretly laid for me. He's talking about what? Let's read on. You are my strength. Into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord of truth. Did you see that? Hallelujah. He reads these two psalms together. Together. But what you have in them is what? A reference in the four gospels. Are you following that? You have a reference. But that reference is for you to read everything. Are you following me? It's to read everything. Hallelujah. It's to read everything. So, in Bible study, you must see that. Hallelujah. In Bible study, you must see that you must learn to read everything. So, Jesus will quote from the Genesis. So, what is Jesus' didache? From the Genesis. Hallelujah. From the where? From the Genesis. Glory to God. Amen.